Super excited to be bringing the gospel this morning on St. Patrick's Day. I don't know if there's a joke in there or not. I guess I could have walked up here with a green top hat and did one of these things. Yeah, there we go. I got it. That was for you and the online audience. But super excited to be speaking this morning. Pete, he always gets on me about my boy band mic. And, you know, I was thinking over there, like, if I ever really had a boy band, who would I pick? Pete? Okay. Brett? Pastor? Alan? And Mike? So maybe April Fool's Day, we can make fools of ourselves. I don't know. Really big youth, like, anyway, I'll stop there. So let's jump into the Word of God this morning. Like I said, I'm really excited to share some things from God's Word. And just to kind of pick up where we left off last week with Pastor's message. And, you know, you hear about two particular Johns in the scriptures that we're looking at, okay? John, the author of the gospel, and then John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, okay, his followers are starting to approach him, and they're addressing the success of Jesus' ministry. And John, you know, he loves his guys, you know, his followers, and he's allowing them to kind of unload their concern and all that stuff. But John carries a godly perspective. He answers these questions with some things in mind that I thought were pretty profound as I was listening to Pastor last week and then studying going into this week, that divine commandments, okay, guide John's reality. He believes that God determines the value of his life, despite what everybody else is saying. And John, he has these feelings, and these feelings have value, but they don't define truth. Our feelings can lie to us. John knows that God decides who and what he is. John keeps it prominent that the love for God and the love for others is paramount, and that God's approval matters most. But then you have his followers, okay, his crew, his guys, and ladies. There might have been a few ladies in the mix there too, I don't know. But he has his followers, and they're starting to look with an earthly perspective. They're thinking through this type of lens, that personal agenda guides my reality. That life is valuable as it relates to me. That personal feelings define reality. Maybe that profit and self-interest come first. And last but not least, social approval is all important. So many people. Here's kind of what we're wrestling with today. So many people, you can turn on the news, you can study youth culture. So many people walk around with an earthly perspective. But we as Christ followers, as the church, okay, we're to have a godly perspective. We're to think differently. We're to look at things differently so that we can take and test our motives to avoid drifting away from Jesus and who he represents. And the scriptures that we're going to be looking at, John the Evangelist, okay, who writes this gospel, and John the Baptist, okay, they both agree on Jesus. And they emphasize certain components in scripture over and over and over again. And in the few verses that I have this morning, you're going to see some familiar things. But approach them with a fresh perspective. So let's read them together. It says this in John chapter 3, verses 31 through 36, talking about Jesus. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. It's clear that John the Baptist, that John the writer, they have a godly perspective. And then you have those in the passage that have the earthly perspective. But then Jesus steps on the scene with the divine perspective. There's things that Jesus knows about heaven and earth and eternity that no one else knows because Jesus has come from heaven. There's something about his perspective that rises above everything else that man can even fathom. Jesus has that divine perspective. See, Jesus, he was head and shoulders above every other messenger of God. Now, for me personally, I've never really been head and shoulders over anyone, okay? Especially in that physical sense. You know, I've tried, you know, but no, it doesn't work out for me. But we're talking about Jesus now, okay? This is Jesus, and he's head and shoulders above every other messenger of God. He has stepped onto the scene. It's all about him. Now, in the Hodgkin household, in our house, okay, if you want to know about space, if you want to know about stars, if you want to know about constellations and galaxies and dwarf planets, hold your tongue, Pete. You're going to talk to Wesley Hodgkin, my six-year-old son. He's the expert in that area. He's going to tell you everything there is to know about this. I mean, he knows so many facts about space and planets. He sings these songs. He's the guy if you have questions about any of that. Now, when it comes to dance, all right, I got that area covered, all right, in the family. Okay, I can do that, you know. But Wesley is the man on mission when it comes to those things. But we're talking about Jesus, and I think it's crazy, like, okay, to step on the scene and know that you're the only one, the only person that can do the job. No one else can do it for you. You are the man for the job or the woman for the job. Jesus steps on the scene. He's different. He's greater. And Jesus is seeing an era of his cousin's ministry ending. Jesus is seeing that. And John knew it was time for him to slip off to the sidelines. And under the old covenant, you know, if you read your Bible long enough, you'll see that every other prophet would announce or somehow write in the scriptures that the Messiah was coming. You see that all throughout scripture. But John the Baptist, okay, this guy, he had the privilege of being the one to say that the Messiah is here. He has arrived. Only John the Baptist had the privilege of doing that. Jesus is superior to Moses, the prophets, and John the Baptist. He was infinitely above every teacher and divine messenger that had ever appeared. John made certain to endorse Jesus, and Jesus made certain to endorse John, but the people had to decide, and we have to decide this morning. Whether you've been following Jesus for a long time or maybe you just stepped into the room for the first time, we have a decision to make, okay, to allow Jesus to be the one out in front, to be the object of our faith, to be the one that we're following. The people had to decide. And as I was looking at these scriptures, I couldn't help but notice that myself, all of us in this place, we cannot settle with devotion to a church or to a pastor. We must all of us, go all the way to Jesus ourselves. We have to do that. The church is great. Church leadership is great, but Jesus is the one that we are to pursue, that we're to chase, that we're to focus on and pursue. Jesus had a unique ministry. You know, someone from earth is limited on how they can communicate beyond earth realities. But Jesus announced that God's presence, that his presence and the heavenly realm has arrived on earth. Jesus was saying in his ministry that heaven was at hand, that it was close, that it was near, that it was present. And there were signs that backed that up. And Jesus is the only one that can present the kingdom of heaven. He's the only one that can present what is above because he is from above. He is the only one that can lay out that divine perspective for you and for me to give us hope beyond what we face in this life. Jesus saw and he heard the heavens, which makes him qualified to communicate the eternal word. If we want information about God, then we can get it from the Son of God. Jesus taught of a kingdom that was centered around inclusion, not exclusion. In a time where there were factions everywhere and people were divided in the most craziest, complicated and degrading way, Jesus taught of a kingdom that included everyone and excluded no one. Through Christ, the entire cosmos, Wesley would like this comment, is being made right again. And that work will be completed when Jesus returns. The apostles, the great hope of the gospel is not that we can escape to heaven, but that Christ will return from heaven, restore earth, and unite heaven and earth once and for all. That's something to get excited about. But there's some things that we need to discover in this verse. And that is, if we do the work of prayer, if we do the work of reading God's word, if we do the work of coming together under his name, if we do the work of representing Christ in the lives that we live, if we do the work of just believing that God can do above and beyond everything that we could ever imagine, we will stake our life on this truth that Jesus represents. John the Baptist did. All the disciples did. I mean, or most of them, except the one. Okay. But most of the people, the early church, they staked their life on this. They gave their life for their faith in Jesus. People noticed the signs that Jesus was displaying, and seeing that those things pointed straight to God, they entrusted their lives to them. That's in John chapter 2. That's just a chapter before this one. And as I read these verses, I'm convicted that I don't need to ration yesterday's experience with Jesus. That I could come to him right now every single day and he will speak to me continually. You do not need to ration the very first time that you came to know who Jesus was in your life. We don't have to rely on what we experience then. We can experience Jesus daily if we come to him. But sometimes he might say some things that we don't want to hear. Then we're like, no, I'm gonna hang on to yesterday's or last year's or that very first moment that I found Christ. He starts speaking to us, he starts challenging us in areas of our lives, and we don't like that. We don't want to hear that. I don't like that. So I hold on to yesterday's. No, Jesus wants to speak to us in fresh ways. He wants to challenge us. He wants to push us towards his best. And sometimes he's gonna say some things that we don't want to hear. My son Wesley and my daughter Shiloh, they're like blown away that mommy and daddy drink coffee every single day. We have the loudest, messiest, most obnoxious coffee maker, okay? And it gets their attention every time we turn it on. And that's why Wesley's like, Dad, do you really have to drink coffee every day? Yes. Ask me why. To deal with my kids, to deal with this, to deal with this youth group. No, I'm just, yes, you, Leah. I'm joking. But, you know, most of us here, we drink a cup a day. You need that cup. If you don't get that cup, you're a mean person. You need coffee, then you need Jesus, okay? You get it, Mike? Yeah, what was that?
Do you put coffee first?
You know, wow, that's convicting. Yes, I do. Yes. Sometimes I do. Or it's coffee and Jesus together, okay? All right. Now that we're all being honest. But no, we can have a constant connection with Christ every single day. Every single day, he can speak something fresh to you, to me. We can feel his presence in a new way. But we've got to connect. We've got to put ourselves in a place where that can happen. And as I'm looking at this scripture and diving into it, this rocked me. All people will have to give an account for how spirit-flooded and spirit-filled Jesus' ministry is. All people. His ministry was spirit-flooded, spirit-filled. And every last person is going to have to give an account for that. We're all going to have to. See, the Jews believed that only a certain measure of the Holy Spirit was given to certain prophets, but not with Jesus, because Jesus perfectly knew and perfectly understood the truth of God. To listen to Jesus was to listen to God himself. And yes, Jesus came up against limited people all the time. I'm limited. I have tall people doing stuff for me all the time. There are certain things I have no business messing with, like fixing a car, okay? There's things that we're limited. Jesus came upon limited people all the time. He came upon blind people. He came upon crippled people. He came upon deformities. He came upon people that were limited by demon possession. He came upon people that were limited with doubts and disbelief. He even came upon people that were limited because they were dead. Yet Jesus, in his limitless power, okay, was put on display, and people were set free and healed all the time. And because of that, we have to give an account. We have to know, man, that Jesus' ministry was spirit-flooded and spirit-filled. And you may have come in here today with some limits and some things that might be blocking you. Know that you are coming to the one without limits. We also read about eternal life and the abundant life in this passage. Eternal life comes through believing. I can take you to the day, the time, the place. We could get on a church bus. I could drive you to the eastern shore of Maryland and show you exactly where I believe for the first time. And my life was completely transformed. Eternal life comes through believing. But the abundant life, this rocked me, because so many pastors, myself, we talk about John 10:10 all the time, that Jesus has come to give us life and life abundantly, life upon life. But in this writing, John is saying that the abundant life only comes through obedience. Eternal life comes through believing, but the abundant life, if you want to experience the abundant life, we have to be obedient to Jesus. And eternal life in this scripture, it's not past tense. It's present tense. It's right now. The moment that you believe, eternal life begins for you and for me, and it continues. But the abundant life, that begins too immediately. That starts immediately. But we only can experience the benefits of following Jesus through being obedient to him and what he is guiding and leading and teaching us to do. So, you believe, but that abundant life comes through obedience. And once we've heard the gospel or read it for ourselves, we then become accountable for what we know. It's our choice to act in obedience to what we know. And I almost called Pastor yesterday because I realized it the past like week and a half that I've been preparing, but it really hit me that my verses end on the wrath of God. Woo! I get to talk about that. And I mean, I was just like rattled thinking about that because, you know, we love talking about the love of God and how awesome he is and, you know, how much he cares about us. But now we're talking about the wrath of God. Okay, he is a just God. There are consequences to sin. And when you look at this word wrath, this isn't a future tense either. This is a present tense word and usage of this term. And I dove into this, and it means this. God's wrath mentioned in this verse is present tense, but it's not instant. Our consequence can fall to us gradually, and so can God's judgment. We cannot settle for our own devices. The wrath of God does not mean a sudden gust of passion or a burst of temper. It means a settled displeasure. When I read about wrath, I think about this one fell swoop that just demolishes someone or something. That's what I think of. But no, it's a settled displeasure. And I can't help but find the humor in God's word. And I feel like, you know, Jesus is just stepping back. And he's like, okay, you want to do it your way? Let's see how that goes. Let's see where your own devices take you. Your disobedience, your sin, your control. See where it takes you. It's going to bring upon the wrath of God right then and there. And the wrath of God is going to be upon our lives that whole time. Now, you read about it in Revelation. There's going to come a judgment and all that. There's going to be an instant bam for the devil and all that. Yes, but this particular wrath is something that remains on someone. Don't let it settle on you. Whether you're here for the first time or you've been following Jesus for a while, like speaking to myself, I don't want that to land on me. And this wrath will be unleashed on those who willfully and actively resist the Son whom the Father loves and whose hands he has entrusted all things. And I'm saying this from experience. People can become disillusioned and blinded by the power of sin. And we can avoid Jesus and distrust him. I promise you the abundant life is not in that. We must believe in his words and consent to him. So I wanted to just take a moment and, Brett, if you want to come on up. I've been praying, about this time and this message and everything. And, you may have come in here this morning and you have some limitations. I listed a bunch. It might be, you've got some doubts, some questions going on and it's limiting your connection with Christ. Maybe it's a health related thing. Maybe it's someone that you care about and you want them to come to know Christ. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a financial limitation. I have no idea. But I will say this, let's just be honest. We all have our limits. We all have something that we've brought here today. But we have a moment right now where we can approach the limitless Messiah, the limitless God that can come in and he has that divine perspective. He may not heal us. He may not provide the money that we need to take care of the financial stresses. He may not completely rid us of a certain emotion that might be leading us or a way of thinking. He may not. But all he has to do is just share a little bit of that divine perspective and we can walk through anything. But I do believe that he does want to heal, that he does want to restore, that he does want to redeem. But we've got to push through the limits. And we've got to meet with him. And as we wrap up this service, I want to slip over into the sidelines like John the Baptist. And I want everybody's focus to be on Jesus. However, I believe that some people here need to step out of where you are, trust Jesus in that process, and come up here and let our leadership pray for you. And call upon Jesus, the one that has the Spirit without measure, to pour out on you as you come up with whatever it is that is frustrating you, that's making you angry, that's making you afraid. And let us pray for you. Pastor said it. Man, he was praying earlier that the God of the universe has placed all things into Jesus' hands. It's in the scriptures that we just read. If the God of the universe can place everything in his son's hands, I think we can place our stuff in his hands. So right now, I want to invite you to come up for prayer. If you need prayer, we're going to pray for you. We're going to believe for you that God speaks to you, that he gives you a glimpse of that divine perspective to encourage you and let you know that this is not the end. This is not the end of the story, that God has something bigger and beyond anything that we can fathom. So if we can, let's stand together. And if you feel led to step out of your seat and come up for prayer, we want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're actively doing today, this morning.